Yashodanandana Raja Janarandana Yashodanandana Raja Janarandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari
Tomorrow, we'll talk to the technical services and see how I can mute all of them. This is the way I can do them. But until that time, please mute yourself. If somebody's not muting yourself, then we got a big problem. So, today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Tomorrow we're going to learn how to mute. We have a mute this thing, so we don't know what the happening anymore. So, tomorrow will be better than today. This is the first day of learning this. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, chapter number 3, section 16.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Star 5.
Star 5? Yeah, do it. Star and move.
Star 5.
Star
keypad touch screen. Oh, the dial pad. Oh, here. Yeah, then star 5.
Star 5.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay, now we got to learn how to do the technique. We got a little help from the ability.
Now they have to unmute themselves to hear you. That's what the announcement came.
Why?
No. They have to unmute themselves.
If they want to ask a question, they don't unmute themselves.
No.
Everyone can hear.
Everyone can hear, but everybody is muted except for me. Now, we're not going to we're going to leave everybody muted so we don't have that chorus of crickets again. What are we going to do? We have a chat. Those of you who are on the internet, I mean, there's a chat. And when we come to the question and answers, we'll ask you all to, any questions can come in on the chat on the lower part of the screen. We're going to leave everybody muted so we don't end up in like the forest of zero illusion. That. Now we have a nice peaceful atmosphere. This is a very nice verse. Word for word. Daya Saki.
Daya Saki.
Cha.
Cha.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
Vasudeva.
Vasudeva.
Parayana.
Parayana.
Urugaya.
Urugaya.
Guna.
Guna.
Udhara.
Udhara.
Satam.
Satam.
Shu.
Shu.
Ee. Samagame.
Samagame.
Dayatakishcha Bhagavan.
Dayatakishcha Bhagavan.
Vasudeva Parayana.
Vasudeva Parayana.
Urugaya Gunodhara.
Urugaya Gunodhara.
Satamsyodhi Samagame.
Satamsyodhi Samagame.
Dayatakishcha Bhagavan.
Dayatakishcha Bhagavan.
Vasudeva Parayana.
Vasudeva Parayana.
Urugaya
Gunodhara. Yasakishcha Bhagavan. Vasudeva Parayana. Urugaya Gunodhara. Satam Juri Samagame.
Vyasakishcha Bhagavan.
Vyasakishcha Bhagavan. Vasudeva Parayana.
Urugaya Gunodhara.
Urugaya Gunodhara. Satam Juri Samagame.
Vyasakishcha Bhagavan.
Vyasakishcha Bhagavan.
Vasudeva Parayana.
Vasudeva Parayana.
Guru Gaya Guru Dara.
Guru Gaya Guru Dara.
Satam Syurhi Samagame.
Satam Syurhi Samagame.
Vyasakishcha Bhagavan.
Vyasakishcha Bhagavan.
Vasudeva Parayana.
Vasudeva Parayana.
Guru Gaya Guno Dara.
Guru Gaya Guno Dara.
Satam Suri Samagame.
Satam Suri Samagame.
Vyasakishcha Bhagavan.
Vyasakishcha Bhagavan.
Vasudeva Parayana.
Vasudeva Parayana.
Guru Gaya Guno Dara.
Guru Gaya Guno Dara.
Satam Suri Samagame.
Satam Suri Samagame. Vyasaki.
Vyasaki.
The son of Vyasadeva.
The son of Vyasadeva.
Chandra.
Also.
Also.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
Full
in transcendental knowledge.
Vasudeva.
Vasudeva.
Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
Parayana.
Parayana.
Attached to.
Attached to.
Guru Gaya.
Guru Gaya.
Of the personality of God and Sri Krishna.
Of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna.
Glorified by great philosopher.
Who is glorified by great philosopher.
Gunakudara.
Gunakudara.
Great quality.
Great qualities.
Satam.
Satam.
Of the devotees.
Of the devotees.
Shiu.
Shiu.
Must have been.
Must have been.
He. As a matter of fact.
As a matter of fact.
Samagame.
Samagame.
By the presence of.
By the presence of.
Translation report, my Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Goswami, son of Vyasadeva, was also full of transcendental knowledge and was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, son of Vasudeva. So there must have been a discussion of Lord Krishna, who was glorified by great philosophers and in the company of great devotees. Report. The words, the tongue, is very significant in this verse. The Tom means the pure devotees who have no other desire than to serve the Lord. Only in the association of such devotees do the transcendental glory of Lord Krishna properly discussed. It is said by the Lord that his topics are full of spiritual significance, and once one properly hears about him in the association of these Tom, certainly one senses the great potency and so automatically attains the devotional service of life. As already described, Maharaj Pariksit was a great devotee of the Lord from his very birth, and so was Shukadeva Goswami. Both of them are on the same level, although it appeared that Maharaj Pariksit was a great king accustomed to royal facilities, whereas Shukadeva Goswami was a typical renouncer of the world, so much so he did not even put cloth on his body. Superficially, Maharaj Pariksit and Shukadeva Goswami might seem to be opposites, but basically, they were both unalloyed, pure devotees of the Lord. When such devotees are assembled together, there can be no topic save discussion of the glory of the Lord or bhakti yoga. In the Bhagavad Gita also, where or when there were talks between the Lord and his devotee Arjuna, there could not be any topic other than bhakti yoga. However, the mundane scholars may speculate it when in their own ways. The use of the word cha after Vyasaki suggests, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, that both Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit were of the same category, settled long before, although one was playing the part of the master and the other the disciple. Since Lord Krishna is the center of the topic, the word Bhaktadeva Parayana, or devotee to Bhakti, suggests devotee of Lord Krishna, a common name. Although there were many others who would tell them about the plagues, the Maharaj Pariksit was fasting, the natural conclusion is that there was no topic other than the glorification of Lord Krishna, because the principal speaker was Shukadeva Goswami, and the chief audience was Maharaj Pariksit. So, Srimad Bhagavatam as it was spoken and heard by two principal devotees of the Lord, is only the glorification of the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sahradatam Sahanaravadatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Javadutam Darijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahana Lalita Jeevashavam Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurani Prasadine Nirshay Shushunyavadi Pashtadine.
So here, we are hearing from Srila Prabhupada about what is the pastime of the unalloyed pure devotee of the Lord. When they get together, they only have one object or one aim, that is to glorify Krishna, to talk about Krishna, to hear about Krishna. This is also described very nicely in the Bhagavad Gita. Maschitam bodayam tashtam 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 tashtam. The thoughts of my pure devotee is lovely. Their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening them with the verses of God. So, but what if I'm not such a great devotee and I like to talk about my thing? What about a poor soul like me? What's the hope for me? I get together and really talk about God. I'm not so elevated like Shiva today and Purusha. Only talking about Krishna. All these other mundane topics keep coming up. What about a poor soul I need? What's my hope? Well, there's pure bhakti in practice and there's pure bhakti in realization. So even if you haven't realized the level of pure bhakti, you just practice it. What do they say? The whole thing is practice makes perfect. So, you're not perfect now, okay? Join the club. But if you practice the activities of the perfected soul's engagement, which is to glorify people 24 hours, you practice, then you become perfect. So, if your mind is agitated by your present situation, it's simply because you're not well practiced in this situation. Because we keep thinking, and well, I've got to change my external situation and then I can be happy. This is our neophyte consciousness. I have to change my external situation. No, you simply have to purify your vision because actually Krishna is in the situation. There's no place where Krishna is not present except in one place, and that is our consciousness. We're lacking Krishna consciousness, but actually Krishna is in. So we simply have to purify that consciousness, bring ourselves back to the original liberated platform. Actually, you are liberated soul. You are liberated soul, but you've forgotten. You're like the son of a Bill Gates, stuck in Indonesia, going on the hippie industry. You know, you have billions of dollars. The one in the history, the beggar in the street, and you have to work for food. Food corner. Something you would do with you. So that's our position. We're actually eternal living, eternal prophet. We're actually every living entity that needs to sit in. So we're in this dreaming state, we become Ninja Bada. By dreaming, yes, I am the center of the universe. So, therefore, Lakshmana says, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bole. Lakshmana says, wake up!
Wake up, you sleeping souls! Why are you sleeping in the lap of a wretch called Maya? Wake up! Wake up!
He had to come out of this crazy man, which,
yeah, I'm ascending again.
Everything belongs to him. Indeed, good old people. This illusion creates a fusion of confusion. When you're losing yourself, you're confusing the confusion. So we have to take the mercy of one of the master, who's simply the messenger going to be. We have to take the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master, because he is giving us the key to eternity, bliss, and knowledge. You're standing right there at the door of Goloka Vrindavan. If you're locked out, but right there at the door, you're locked out. Spiritual master gives the key.
Why don't I need a key? Why don't I need a key? I'll figure it out on my own.
It's not being so puffed up.
We're so puffed up. We think we don't need a spiritual master. Isn't it crazy? I don't need a spiritual master. I'll do it on my own.
But they say, don't look to give towards them.
When Krishna sends you a bona fide spiritual master, you should take advantage. Surrender to him. Not that, you know, halfway.
I'll do this,
but I won't do this. That's not surrender, that's business. Don't take your spiritual master as a business partner. You understand? Take him as your master. I'm fully surrendered to my spiritual master. Then you'll realize Krishna. Otherwise, you can go on in this semi-state, this pseudo-state, you know, semi-bhakti for millions of lifetimes, and never realize Krishna. But don't cheat yourself. Don't keep yourself in karma chakra, doing the greatest disservice to yourself and everybody else by holding on to your material attachment. Don't cheat yourself. Say, okay, I'm a rascal, I'm nothing, I'm focusing on my spiritual master. I'm just letting him take charge of my life. What did Prabhupada say? You know, I'm just a puppet, and you make me dance, make me dance. Make me dance as you like. That is the mood for the disciple. Not a bargaining thing, a bargain with my guru. No, you don't bargain with your spiritual master. You fully surrender your spiritual master. That is how you become liberated. So immediately become liberated. You don't have to wait. As soon as you're fully surrendered to your spiritual master, immediately you're liberated. Immediately. So why wait? Why postpone it? It's like the idea of the example of the bandit. There's two ways to take off the bandit. You go one hair at a time, or you go shh. Really? So, sometimes, because we have this phobia of being hurt, we go one hair at a time, and it hurts. Every hair hurts. One hair after another. It hurts. We have this phobia. Oh, it'd be so horrible, but is it one spook? It'd be so horrible. Actually, you do it, it's practically painless to do it. So the trouble is, that's how we play with our spiritual master, like a band-aid. You understand? One hair at a time. Excruciating agony. We agonize ourselves unnecessarily one hair at a time. I'll send it a little bit down. Just fully surrender to do it. That is done. Fully surrender to the spiritual master. Immediately. Now, that living the spiritual world immediately. All anxiety is finished. So,
as Prabhupada said, it requires a little intelligence to understand. Trouble is, we're dull-headed. We don't understand that we can philosophically acknowledge it. We do it? No. No, we don't. We don't do it. We don't do it because meager intelligence. What is this? Ultimatum. I really like that term, ultimatum, second one. Meager intelligence, because it reminds me, as a kid, I remember in the US, there was a dog called Papa. Papa is like food. A dog food brain. Ultimatum. Dog food. So that's our position. We have dog food brains. Like dog food. So, how do we get out of this position? How are we going to get out of this open medicine and become Sumedasa? It's supposed to be Sumedasa, very intelligent. It's like Susuka, very blissful, Sumedasa. Very Sumedasa. Well, you have to hear. You have to hear from the spiritual master. You have to hear from the saint of the early in the Lord. You have to hear from the scriptures. Hearing, 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 hearing. You have to see who is purely speaking the method of Krishna. You have to hear, hear, spend your whole life hearing from such personalities who are purely speaking the method of Krishna. This is the great mercy of Prabhupada's books. Because we have the purest of all devotees in the whole universe, we've empowered my Lord Chaitanya to deliver not only this planet, but the entire universe. We have his books. So by flooding the planet with these books of Srila Prabhupada, we're giving every single living being on this planet the opportunity to deliver it. So, we have about 20 people in this class. And, we can open it up to questions. I'm seeing the chat system on the screen. What we can do is we can alternate between the devotees who are actually here and the devotees who are in the chat. So, first of all, any questions from the devotees here? Well, could we have asked the devotees also? We're not in the temple. The devotees here in the temple. Any questions from the devotees here in the temple?
We see on book distribution, book distributors doing it for some time, and because Guru wants them to do it, and then they hit some level of something where they just either they start doing too much and they start thinking, I'm good enough now. I don't need to do this anymore. I can request. I can just do what I want. I don't need to hear from you. I'm better than you. All these concepts, yeah. And then they fall away. Yeah. Well, often that's one of the primary reasons. Do you have anything to suggest managers to help make sure that is minimized? That kind of.
See, here's the problem. I'll tell you some issues. Here's the real problem. We are not trained in the concept of duty, especially in the Western countries. We don't know what duty means. We know what it means to enjoy. We don't know what duty means. Many cultures are based on duty. Even, I heard Punjabi gave an example. He grew up in Delhi. And in his neighborhood, there was a man with a little vegetable cart. He would come every day, for decades. Every day he came with a little vegetable cart. So one day, he either died or he retired, and his son was in the cart. Now his son is in the cart. He'd go down to the family, the son just automatically takes, this is my duty, can you, my father is not, and there's no question about what career do I want? No, I have a duty, and I have my father is maintaining us, and now I maintain my family, my retired father, and this way. So, we don't have the concept of duty. I see it in my own disciples sometimes too. I know what you're talking about. In my own disciples, they do the same issue. There's a duty I want them to do, but they don't want to do it. They want to do their own thing. The same problem. You see? We don't know what it means to do it. So how the question is how to instill a sense of duty in our devotees as preachers and leaders and gurus and movements. It's a very, very important how to train all of this kind of devotees in this spirit of duty. Otherwise our movement will never go, I'll tell you for me, our movement will never go anywhere unless this principle of duty can actually be understood and realized and fully implemented. I remember when Prabhupada had one letter from him, the devotee who had come to be president of the Dalai Lama. Prabhupada said, we should take that as a lifetime duty. As our devotee said, I can't stand my service. Well, at least commit it. They said, well, at least commit yourself in 2 or 3 years. No. It's not, the Prabhupada said, this should be a lifetime position. The thing is, the devotees don't know, the problem is not society. The devotees don't know how to be beautiful. They think, well, now what is my spiritual master want? What do I want? So, the real answer for the example is better than yourself. Those of us who have understood the importance have to show it by come hell or high water, stick to your view. If the younger devotees can see the older devotees are firmly fixed in this concept, then those who are actually a little intelligent see that in their mind. Those are completely idiotic, totally in the sense of advocation platform. You have to show the problem. You have to preach duty, you have to show the example of duty. And then those who are actually intelligent, they'll get the message. And those who are just cheaters, rascals, who come here for some material motives, and they won't make it. They won't make it. So you have some point.
Well, I don't duty is one thing. At the same time, we have to see the practicality, we have to see if the results are good.
The leader, see, the followers are saying, let me just do my duty. But the leader has to see the followers are being proper, their health is proper, their, you know, they have proper diet, they have proper rest, proper clothing. The leader has, that's what the leader's duty is to see, to do everything possible to make to provide their. Provide them, but they're not satisfied with that. Not the name of duty. You know, we don't feed them, we don't clothe them, and just leave them out in 20 degrees below zero. You know, and the leader has a duty to take very good, like a loving father, affectionate father, to take care of all the people working under them.
Especially if you're in the
book
distribution, the Buddhist
should
have a good prasadam right from the beginning.
Prabhupada said the Buddhist distribution should have the best prasadam. Mm-hmm. They should have the very best prasadam. They're doing the best important work of our society. They should have the best prasadam. They're fully satisfied.
When they're traveling with
people,
when they're traveling
with Buddhists, prasadam is not for them. Was that the leader to be really innovative and creative and really satisfied? That's the shot. I know that Bishop John Swami said, Sankirtan Prasadam, that's the shot. So you have to have the best shot. Better than anything. Somehow or other, you have to be very, very, you have to. But they say cooking is the way to a man's stomach, somebody the way to a man's heart. So you have to really feed them nicely. That's the shot. So their hearts are completely. You know, you got new captures in the wonderful prasadam. That will. So we have some questions that come in. Now, Shamapriya Devi Dante from Delhi has asked this question. How can I become a simple hearted? Yeah, modern day society actually turns us into complicated psychological basket cases. That's the training you really wanted to get. But it really goes back to the original, the other question. Simple means dutiful. It means you're dutiful. You're not, you just, whatever duty your spiritual master gives you, you accept that dutifulness. That's what it means to be simple, to be dutiful and to be simple. And actually, the same, two ways of saying the same exact consciousness. Satisfied. Not that you're demanding this. No. Whatever Krishna gives, that is of it. And he simply lies in the name of Krishna's service. That is simple. So, any other questions from the here at the temple?
And Canto 1, I think it's chapter 2, it says the sages, we have met your goodness, and your goodness is capitalized. Speaking of the sutra goes from.
The title. It's like your grace. Isn't a gracious person also a good person? With the title, your goodness, your grace. Oh. So that can be easy. Oh. We can say his grace. Paramesha, the word is goodness. Paramesha. It's an honorific title. It is goodness and grace. I've only seen that one thing, but it's also not grace. It's goodness. Thank you. Let's see, any other questions? Okay, here's one from Shreyas. Dr. Shreyas. Please accept. Can you please share some book distribution secrets of your experience? Well, the book distribution I do now, and I can do one thing that I do is I give a lecture, and everybody comes up and buys a book out of the lecture. So that's one secret. That's one very good technique. You others can use, you arrange a program somewhere, and then actually I just talked with Kali Chandra when I was they're teaching, they get Bhagavad Gita courses, and they have to pay a fee for the course, and then the fee includes purchasing the Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. So these are 300 hardbound Bhagavad Gita in China. So there's many different ways to distribute books. We have to, it's not, there's actually unlimited ways. So we have to be dynamic, which means we're not, we always see what's, you know, what is, what, we try this, we try that, and there's most of it. But Prabhupada gave me some direct tips, and I'll pass those on to you. From the Supreme Book of Siddhartha. He sent me a letter, one of those magical, mystical envelopes. Sri Gandhi Goswami, Vishnu Bhakti Goswami, he got in that letter from Prabhupada. Secrets about this. Actually, he sent me a personal letter plus a copy, a carbon copy, sent to someone else. So the carbon copy was directly sent to his carbon copy. So I think it's a very special one. He said, if you will simply describe these books in the best descriptive manner, then you can convince anybody, even an atheist, to purchase them. So, just as we develop the ability to glorify Krishna, devotees will cultivate the art of glorifying Krishna with choice verses, poetic descriptions, power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, and all. And we learn so many ways to go up by Krishna, so we can share Krishna mercy amongst ourselves. In the same way, we should find so many ways to go up by these books. Always be looking new way. How can I more poetically, more beautifully, more powerfully, more convincingly describe these books? That is a part every devotee should cultivate. how to describe these books in the best of it's like an artist is always trying to protect his art. The musician, always trying to be a better musician. Always perfect the art. How can I describe these books even a better way? And even a better way. The whole life. The book distributor and every devotee should be a book distributor. Mm-hmm. Every devotee should be thinking, how can I describe these books in a better way? So where do you start? Well, I suggest Bhagavad Gita 19. My dear sir, this knowledge is the key of education. If you call me a hand on the book, it says, put the book in the hand and say, my dear sir, this knowledge is the key of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. It's the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self, it's the perfection of volition. It's everlasting and it's judgment before the knowledge. And just give it a chance. Prabhupada told my god sister who's Maharati in the airport book distributor, who was the biggie that he did. Now, I'm happy to sit in books. He said, just tell them this is the Bhagavatam book. This Bhagavat Purana is the vision of the sun. Mm-hmm. He actually told her to say the verse in the English. This Bhagavat Purana is the vision of the sun, the vision of the chapter of the Krishna, So if you don't know what to say, just go up and down and say the verse. And not like, you know, kind of like, you know, your eyes are going somewhere. No, you have to look right in the eyes and with great confidence. Like, you know, you're giving him the supreme lesson I could ever receive in millions of months. You can shake their hand, put the book, you can hold their hand and shake their hand, or something, put the book in their hand, you see, and look right in their eyes. Full conviction comes with this knowledge of the communication. The most secret of all secrets of the day is yours. So, you know, try all these, have fun, you know, have actually being on good distribution is a thing that is like being a kid in a candy shop. All day long, you get to be a messenger of Krishna, a messenger of divinely empowered messenger. You get to actually become an empowered representative of the Lord. So, devotees who are actually going to take some book, and really going to take some book, they don't want to stop. They want to go 24 hours a day. They think, oh, I have to go eat. I have to sleep. Oh, no. There's more people out there that don't have a book. They become intoxicated. They say, Krishna, let me take birth after birth after birth to everybody. That's a full set. Let me take millions of births. I don't care, but let everybody have a full set of all of them. What is it? They need to become divine intoxication. So this way, that's a super. Let's see here. Here's another one. My family members are very worldly. Join the club. How do I save my practice of Krishna consciousness from them? In other words, how do I protect myself from their bad association? You have to have your own determination. And if they're too negative, you've got to just keep it to yourself. If you can preach to them, great, but if it's just crazy, if they just harass you and you preach to them, you just got to keep it within your own mind. You know, because it's called preaching the faith. If by your preaching of them, they just make it very difficult for you to practice, you just have to do it on your own. Have your own room, get up early in the morning, privately chant your japa, so nobody's going to bother you, you can just pursue in Krishna. If possible, you know, if you're a single man, join the ashram, be a brahmachari. If you want to get married, then only marry a devotee. Don't marry a devotee. Or you do marry a non-devotee, that's what someone would believe. Sometimes we see on the other side, there's a girl who would say, okay, I'll do whatever you said, and follow all these principles. You told me that I could do Chen 16 down the road. So, okay, I'll do it. Sometimes we make a devotee like that immediately. The girl would agree that, okay, I'll follow these principles. Probably they often be hooked. Sometimes that happens too. But the thing is, you have to, You have to just be very, very determined. So here's another one. How can we find out the solution and come out from that zone instead of pushing the ability in another direction? Yeah, we have our comfort zone. That's the area where I feel comfortable. Well, we have to push ourselves a little bit beyond the comfort zone. Whatever you're comfortable doing is probably not enough to get you back to God. Probably not enough. Gotta go beyond. Don't go so far that you're just gonna completely snap and give up the comfort zone. Push yourself a little bit beyond your comfort zone. And then gradually become comfortable at that level, and then push yourself a little more. And gradually become comfortable at that level. And this way, you have to always be demanding yourself. You have to always see how you can be more surrendered, more Krishna conscious. Because your real happiness is simply how you advance in Krishna. That's your real happiness. It's not, the external things are not really where the happiness is found. The external situation. Real happiness is found that every day you need a little more Krishna consciousness than you were used to. That's the real secret. Every day I'm becoming more Krishna conscious. Yes.
Is fully surrendering immediately to the spiritual master what is meant by the gradual process?
So, one night thing, this is a contradiction. Then you contradicted yourself. You said, fully surrender and be a liberated soul. Now you're saying, just go a little bit every day. So you may say, wow, that sounds contradictory. Well, not really contradictory. Actually, one should strive for full surrender for me. Every day, I should strive for full surrender. Now, can I achieve it? I don't achieve it immediately, but I'm endeavoring to achieve it. Actually, even in one place, Prabhupada says you can't even go back to God in one lifetime. Not in the books, he said that. But by His mercy, it is possible. So it is a gradual process, which means it's little by little. So therefore, it's a gradual process. Well, I'm not going to try to fully surrender to Him. It's gradually coming from me. Well, there's an old saying: if you want to clear the mess of their angels, God. It's like you have an airplane, and you're taking off the little airplane, and all I do is clear the fence. I'll just elevate the plane a little bit, and then I find it. Maybe you hit the fence and you crash. So you better aim for full surrender, knowing that, I could, by Krishna's grace, I could actually achieve it. At some moment in the future, you will become a pure devotee. You will see Krishna be revealed. Everything will be there. You'll find yourself in the Loka Vrindavan. That moment will come when you actually realize your Swarup and you're back in Krishna's Leela. That moment will come at some moment in the future. So I should strive for that at every minute. And that will take me faster to that position. Prabhupada told me, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So I think, well, Prabhupada, I'm not going to really do that. I'm just going to try to, try to wake up a little earlier and maybe learn one or two more verses. And I'm not really going to follow that order, Prabhupada, and try to see Krishna face to face. Would that be a problem with it? Prabhupada told me to qualify myself to see Krishna face to face. That means bring bhakti, Krishna bhakti, closer to me. So I have to endeavor for that with every minute. Now it may not happen today, it may not tomorrow, it could happen next week. If I actually endeavor, it could happen next week. It could happen in 10 seconds from now, or it could be 10 million lifetimes from now.
But I have to endeavor to, Prabhupada ordered me to qualify myself to see Krishna face to face. I have to endeavor better every minute. Otherwise, I'm disobeying my spiritual master. So you should endeavor to full surrender every minute. Otherwise, you're disobeying your spiritual master. Now, you may not see this. That's all right. You have to be patient. The woman can't get married, can't have a baby the next morning. And now I want a divorce. I've been married for 12 hours. I don't have a baby yet. I divorce you. What kind of husband are you? No. You understand? It's built that way. Your determination has to be, I want to achieve pure bhakti right now, and I'm endeavoring with all my determination to achieve pure bhakti right now. That's an argument. Does that make sense?
Very clear. Well, thank you, Shri. Let's see, we have some more questions now. Here's some about follow your instructions with great determination. Job, yeah. Thank you. Let's see that little.
Wait, that?
Well, this is Guard. Guard says, thank you, Lord. Well, that's great. Actually, Lord is a synonym of Prabhu. Thank you for answering my. Query, I will follow your instructions with intense determination. Thank you, Brother. Here's a question. How can we best help one who believes in Krishna consciousness but isn't serious in following the concept regarding the four regs? Now, I recommend you don't call them the four regs because they're too casual. You should call them the four regulative principles. I would never talk to Prabhupada about the four regs. I would never say that to Prabhupada. I wouldn't dare to. It's like cheapening making it casual.
Yeah, with more legs.
No one ever talked about this. No one. Mm-hmm. I recommend we should make our language not too like slangy or that's certain formality in what we speak. We don't want to lower this topic to some slangy type. The first thing is we should call it the four, we should say the four regulative principles. That elevates it to be a more respectful thing, the four regulative, like too casual. Vishnujana Swami said, casual means casualty. So, if we just call it,
yeah, the four, yeah, the four regulative,
you know, that, if you say, yes, we must follow the four regulative principles, that elevates, gives it more respect, you understand the point? For being more respectful. These are divine principles. They're not just some cheap thing. These are divine principles. We have to worship these four principles. So, if we elevate the word four regular principles to a very exalted activity that actually bestows the greatest benefit upon the practitioner, this person who is not serious to follow them, to be trained in the disunderstanding, you say, yeah, you really ought to follow the four regs. You tell him like that, he may not quit. But you say, these four regular principles are divine. They are a gift from Krishna to help us experience them with every minute directly. And then in this way, if you train that person, they may think, oh, I have to follow them. But they're not interested. So, they apologize for throwing the program. I accept the apology. It's common in this kind of, I'm passing the training on. So that it's not an offense. It's, incredible training. Let's see what other questions we have. Okay. This is from Bhargav. My question is there some, is there some many ups and downs, and I heard from Stephen that he's in a difficult time to definitely take part of Krishna. Yes, there are many, many ups and downs. Mata Sparshish to come to Bayar Shepherd to Sukaduka. There are many, many ups and downs. So, we should always take Shabbat Krishna. The thing is, I can't, the devotees here can see, but the ups and downs are going to be there. But as you advance in Krishna consciousness, in the beginning, it's like these huge ups and huge downs, you get exhilarated and depressed. For neophyte devotees, you get really exhilarated and you get really depressed. Mm-hmm. Up and down. But as you, the hills and the valleys, you get tall hills and deep valleys in your neophyte. But as you advance in Krishna consciousness, it starts to equalize. That, you know, it becomes, it's samaha, the sameness, in the English translation. You learn to be equipoised in the midst of the ups and downs. And actually, as you perfect your Krishna consciousness, you realize how to use the downs to go up. Just like an expert businessman, whether the market is up, prices are up or down, he's always expanding his business. When the prices go up, he sells. When the prices go down, he buys. And this way, his empire is always expanding at every minute. Doesn't matter what's happening to the market. So the body can be exhilarated, he can be depressed, and either way, he uses that to his advantage. If I get depressed, I think, you know, why am I depressed? So he takes advantage of his depression to increase his Krishna consciousness. He's exhilarated, he's thinking, well, Krishna's very kind to give me this wonderful situation. I don't deserve it, but he's very kind to give it to me. So in this way, you see, he actually learns to equalize the ups and downs to where it's just pure spiritual bliss. So the ups and downs is material vision. For a pure devotee, there are no ups and downs. It's pure up. Pure up. There's no such thing as ups and downs for the pure devotee. The neophyte experiences ups and downs, but he has to learn how to conquer his mind by analyzing everything through the scripture. Don't see through your mind. Your mind is vassal number one. See through the scriptures. See through the eyes of the scriptures. That's how you conquer that vassal. It's kept you caught up in the cycle of birth and death for millions of lifetimes. You have to conquer that rascal mind. Otherwise, you're going to stay here, birth after birth after birth. You have to conquer that mind. So it's not difficult. You have to read the books, see through the eyes of the books, and follow the books. And then your mind will become no longer yours. Your properly trained up mind will now become your very best friend. And you can make spiritual advancement. When you get to that position, you can make spiritual advancement by associating with your own mind. Even if they locked you in a prison, you can just sit there and associate with your mind and make spiritual advancement. You actually learn how to do it. So, we're just about out of time here. Let's see. So, how can we find out a solution to come out from that zone? Let's go down and see them. Okay. Well, our time is up, and I'm just delighted that we have over 20 people. Counting the people here, we have like 25 people today, so it's wonderful. There'll be a class again tomorrow morning. Guru Mataji, Krishna Piri Devi, will be giving the class. And then I'll be giving the day after that. So, I'll be out here often, Mataji and I, Guru Mataji and I, often, the alternate side. And when we're driving down the road, and whenever I have an internet connection, Wi-Fi connection in the temple room, and we will advertise it, and it's not going to be all the time, because sometimes there's no Wi-Fi connection. But when you do have a Wi-Fi, we'll definitely send a broadcast out there, letting you know the class is going to be happening and what time it will be. So this way, we thank you all for joining us today, and may Krishna bless all of you, and you have a wonderful eternal existence of pure Krishna consciousness. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Mm-hmm.